They get saved. How did they get saved? By the old word of God that's 2,000 years old. Amen? But the moment that they believed in their heart, everything became new to them. But it was from the old one. God's doctrine doesn't change.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for joining us. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Real Love, from a series in the Epistle of 1 John. Let's listen in.
What old commandment is John talking about? Well, in context, we know what it is. It's the Leviticus 19:18, the Old Testament, where it says, you shall love each other or love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? And so he's talking about love. Now, when he says there about the old and the new, about the old commandment, the command here, it's not in terms of time. Does that make sense? It's very important that we see that, but terms of quality. There's a great quote that I want you to listen to very carefully this morning. The scholar says this, doctrinal Christianity is always old. Experiential Christianity is always new. The doctrine doesn't change. In other words, the teaching doesn't change. Doctrine means teaching. Now listen very carefully. Did you know that right now, I am not teaching you one new thing? Are you following me? What I am teaching you is 2,000 years old. And I am teaching you the same thing that John taught them. I'm teaching you the same good news of the gospel of Christ Jesus that Paul taught, that Peter taught, that John taught. Are you following me? See, it's the old. Listen, I'm not teaching you anything new at all. And that's what's wrong today with so many Christians, loved one. They run, say, this is a new teaching. No, there's no new teaching. This is the word of God. Do you understand? No, there's not a new thing. Listen, well, yeah, but the gifts of the Spirit in operation. The gifts of the Spirit have always been in operation. They haven't ceased. That's not new. It was written long ago. Are the gifts for everybody? The gifts are for everybody. But they're only given as the Holy Spirit sees fit. Everybody has at least one gift. Do you follow me? But there's nothing new. Oh, I've got to run over here because this is a new book. No. You have the word of the living God. You know, whenever you hear that, oh, I've got a new this and a new that. You know what that is? That's Gnosticism. Gnosticism, oh, I have the new word. I have more light than you have. You've got to come. You've got to give, or you got to do this. No, you need to believe the living word of God, the old living word of God. And here's what happens. If a person is lost in trespasses and sins, here they are, and they get saved. Are you listening? Yes. Okay, they get saved. How did they get saved? They got saved by the old word of God that's 2,000 years old. Amen?
Amen.
But the moment that they believed in their heart, everything became new to them. In other words, now they're experiencing the new, but it was from the old. Why? God's doctrine doesn't change. Thank you. Yeah, I feel better now. You know, that's important, loved one. We have what we need. Have we been given all things that pertain to life and godliness? Oh my gosh, what more do we need? Or have we already been blessed with every blessing which is in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Yes, what more do we need? I'll tell you what we need. We need to believe the word of God. I don't need to run over there. I need to run to the throne of grace. I need to run to the word of God. I need to believe the word of God. I need to act upon the word of God. I need to trust the word of God. And when I do, that means I am gnosko. I'm experiencing. I'm traveling with Jesus. I'm drawing close to him. He's happy. He's making his home with me. I'm living the true, real life and the real love. That's what God wants us to do. Now, with all of that being said, it talks about, he says, the command that you've heard from the beginning. Now, I know what that command is. Let me just give it to you from the scripture. 1 John 3:11. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. There it is. 1 John 3:23. Here's the commandment that you should love one another. 2 John 5. Here's the new commandment to you, one which you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Now listen, love, there's nothing greater than the love of God. Amen? It's so important. Did you know that the entire Word of God is summed up in the Great Commandment? In the Great Commandment, everything in the Bible, Old Covenant, New Covenant, everything hinges upon the Great Commandment. Did you know that? And that's one of the foundational scriptures for this church. Let me read it to you. Jesus said this. Here's the Great Commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. All right? Amen? Is that easy? No. Boy, my heart likes to be crowded. Do you understand? But God says, no, I need all of it because if not, there's something to get in there and crowd me out. He says, and then he goes on and he says, now this is the first and the great commandment, Jesus said. And the second is just like it, identical to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to what Jesus says. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. All, the entire Word of God. It hangs upon this. Now, love is fulfilled in one word. Remember from Romans? And what was it? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's all about love. So look what he does now in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing, talking about this real love that we have, which thing is true in him and true in Jesus and in you. Now, why is it true? Well, because the darkness is passing away and the true light or the real light is already shining. Now, we know that's Jesus, the light of the world. That's John 1:9, amen, the true light. Now, but here's what I want you to see. He said there, look at it, which thing, talking about the agape of God, it's true in Jesus. Now, we know that it's true in Jesus, amen? But we have to ask ourselves a question. Be a good student of the Word of God now and ask ourselves this question. Is it true in us? Is it true in us? The Bible tells us in Romans 5:5, it says, and hope doesn't disappoint, for the love of God, that's the agape of God, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. So it's God's love is already in us, okay, if you're a Christian. Also, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love, is agape. Now, the question is, okay, it's true in Jesus. Is it true in us? Meaning, is it really practiced by the Christian? Boy, that is so important. You know, Pastor Chuck taught us years ago, I've never forgotten it, and I've taught that for all of my ministry, that there is not a higher test for a Christian than the agape of God in their life. Amen? There's not a higher proof test, loved one. See, the agape of God is uncaused. It's unconditional love. It seeks the best for everyone, okay? And listen, the agape of God that's in us is not necessarily a feeling or an emotion. It's an act of obedience. Amen? We just obey the Lord. I'm not saying when I love my enemy that I'm in love with him, but I will love him because God says to love him. Treat him like God would treat him. Amen? We're called to that. So you know what the new commandment that John is talking about. It's one of the foundational scriptures for this church. Jesus there in the upper room, he'd washed the disciples' feet. After he had done so, they had the supper. Then Judas Iscariot went out into the night to betray the Lord. He's hours away from crucifixion and so forth. And Jesus, he says to them in John 13:35, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, there's nothing new about what Jesus just said, because they already knew, Peter, John, all the people in the upper room with Jesus, they knew from Leviticus 19:8 to love one another. So, but Jesus said, no, I'm giving you something new. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, and here comes the brand new part, as I have loved you. What a word. You love one another to the same degree that I have loved you. Jesus said, I am your example. He says, therefore also, you love one another. We, the church, never, ever want to be guilty. It's so easy to say, I love you, isn't it? Oh, come on. It's easy. I love you. I love you. That's easy to say, but see, we don't want to treat love, the agape of God, as a noun. We always want to treat it as what it is. Agape, the love of God, is a verb. It means it is to be demonstrated. It's not saying I love you. It's showing I love you. Amen? Did God show us his love? Did he send his son? Romans 5:8, God proved or demonstrated his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? He proved that. See, love is always in action. It's always moving. It's not just, I love you. It's doing something, loved one. And then Jesus said, you know, when you love each other like I love you, he says in the next verse, verse 35, by this all, that means everyone who sees you, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, have love one for another. In other words, they know that you're my disciples, not because they see you on the freeway with a big bumper sticker, you know, honk if you love Jesus. No, amen? Jesus didn't say, they'll know because you belong to Calvary Chapel that you love. No, he didn't say church membership. He didn't say because you're water baptized. He didn't say any of those things because you can quote scripture. No, nothing. He says there is a test. By the all that know you, that see you, they will all know. So hours before his death, what did Jesus Christ say was the true proof? The true proof that you're my disciple. Let me read it again. By this, not miracles. Miracles are, praise the Lord. Not gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord, we have them. You know, not because you speak in other tongues. Praise the Lord, but that's not it. He said, by this, everyone will know that you belong to me, that you follow me, that if you love one another as I have loved you. In other words, everyone, it's not by what we say, it's by what others see. Amen? Now listen, can I say something to you? I wrote this down last night here at the office before I left to go home about this verse, and I started thinking about it. We're the church. We're the most powerful people on earth. Amen? But what good is Christianity if it's just talk, if it's all talk? Amen? Oh, yeah, loved one. The Bible says in 1 John 4:7 about love, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God. That's the evidence of the new birth. And knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Doesn't have a relationship with God. Why? It goes on. It says, for God is love. Now, when we get to verses 9 and 10, these are tough, tough verses, loved one. It's talking about a man who hates and a man who loves. Look at verse 9. And another, he who says he is in the light. That's 1 John 1:7. Remember, he walks in the light as God is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. So he who says he's in the light and hates his what? Ooh, hates his brother. That's present tense, by the way. That's a fixed, settled attitude. So he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So John says, you know what? If you profess to walk in the light as he is in the light, if you profess that you're walking just as Jesus walked, if you confess that you're obedient to the new commandment, that you love each other as Christ loved you, the same degree, and you continually hate your brother, God says that person is living in a spiritual atmosphere of darkness. Now, I want you to think about something. Because if you study other scholars, and there's such a division here. But I just push all of that away, and I just think, okay, who is John talking to? Who are his readers? Number one, are they Christians? Okay. Number two, are they false teachers, the Gnostics? Number three, would it be maybe the lost? Okay. So who's John talking about here that hates his brother? Is it the Gnostics? We know the Gnostics. Listen, they were pulling disciples away from Christ to themselves. They had the greater light, and they were teaching, oh, you don't have to keep the commandments of God. No. Listen, that's not love. So was it the Gnostics? Well, it could be. Was it the lost? Well, it could be the lost too. But I don't think it is. It says continually or hates his brother in verse 9. Is that what it says? Hates his brother? Now listen, if you're a Christian for any length of time, let me back up. Do you know what really blew me away when I first got saved? I was so thrilled. I mean, I was clean and I knew I was clean. You follow me? I'd never been to church. I went to church. I didn't know one song. Not one song. And they were all singing. They all knew them. And I didn't care. I just wanted to learn them. Do you understand? I was excited to be there. And I didn't want to leave when it was over. I was just so excited about everything. But I didn't know when I got saved. I didn't know that Christians could be mean. I didn't. That's how naive I was. I thought, everybody loves everybody. We're just going to all make it, you know. But that wasn't the case, loved one. Now listen, we all know that not all Christians are lovable. Is that right? They're likable. We prefer them. Come on. I'm going to ask you a question. Can a true Christian who has God's supernatural agape, the love, living in him, hate his brother and his sister? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If he can, if you're a Christian, you're listening on the radio right now, you're listening here in this chapel, listen carefully. If a Christian can hate his brother or sister, please mark this down. That person truly believes that they are walking in the light. They believe that, but they're living in total darkness. The Bible says in 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, for he who loves God must love his brother also. Where in the world does hate and love come from? Love, where does it come from? If you're a Christian, that love only comes from one person, God the Father, amen? It comes down from heaven. You can't get it on earth, but you have to be born again to have the supernatural love of God in your heart, amen? So it comes from heaven. It's outside the realm of man. Now, it's a supernatural love. Now, what about hate? Where does it come from? Well, hate came from outside the realm too. It came from the fall in the garden, didn't it? It came from the wicked one. Now, look at verse 9. It says, another, he who says he is in the light, walking in the light, and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling, and look where it's at, in that person, in his life, in his heart. That word stumbling is scandalon. It means a bait trap or a bait stick. In Luke 17, I think it's 17, the word is offense. That word is scandalizo. And it means when you're a Boy Scout or something, or maybe you just want to trap an animal, and you know the little box you'd set up, and you'd put a stick and hold the box up, you know, at an angle, and put a big old piece of bread down there, and then you'd wait for and put a string on the stick, and you'd back up and hide, and you'd wait for that little parakeet or whatever, I don't know, you know, to land, and then you'd pull that out and you'd trap him. Well, that's what it means. You're a bait stick. You trap people. You cause people to stumble. But if you are filled with the love of God, John said, that's not in you, man. You don't have that in you. Listen, let me just give you another scripture. Because see, when you have God's love is not a trip hazard. Amen? Okay, let me give you another scripture from Williams. It says, he's no hindrance to others. Another translation, he has nothing in himself that will cause others to sin. Someone put it this way. The lack of God's love, or the want of love, is the most prolific cause of offenses. What a word, that's true. Now look at verse 11. He says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness, walks in darkness, does not know where he's going. In the Greek, that is a fixed condition, okay? That's a state. That's a fixed condition. He doesn't know where he's going. Why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. I want to give you three things that we've just learned from these scriptures about a Christian, if it is a Christian, who hates his brother or sister. The first thing is in verse 9. If a Christian hates his brother, again, they truly believe that they're walking in the light, but they're in darkness. They're a part of darkness. They're united to darkness. Number two, they believe, they truly believe from the scriptures we just covered, that they know where they're going. They really, really believe that. Yet, they have lost all sense of direction. Hatred, if this is a believer, hatred stops a Christian's progress in their tracks. You're there. You're in darkness, man. Now, number three, they believe they really see. But it says here that we've learned, but darkness has blinded their eyes. They live constantly in a spiritual night, a constant spiritual blackout. But the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is like a shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Man, we look at that and I say, dear Lord. Let me give you another scripture. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed or crossed over from death to life, or out of death into life. How do we know that? John says, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Death. Ooh. Death is the absence of spiritual life. Amen? Did you catch what John just said there? He didn't say we love the brethren because we've passed from death to life. He says, no, no, you know you're in God. You know that you love the brothers and the sisters because you've passed from death into life, meaning you are born from above. You know that you're born from above. Now, that is the living word of God when it talks about what real love is, Christian. Now, listen, to not know these verses that we just covered, would you say to not know where you're going in this life? You're calling yourself a Christian, but you never do what he says. You never open your Bible. Oh, you sing to him, come to, but you don't really, that's it. I mean, to not know where you're going, but to believe in your heart that you really know where you're going, but you're not going, would you say that's one of the most awful judgments that you could imagine? To think you're going, to think you're moving forward, but you're not going anywhere. You're stumbling over this, you're stumbling over that, because you are blind, because you're living in darkness. Ooh, how awful to believe that you're saved, but you never do anything God says. But you believe that you're saved, but you're not saved. What a horrible place to be. I mean, think about it. To live in darkness, to walk in darkness, but you don't know you're doing that. You believe otherwise. You believe everything is just hunky-dory, if you will, okay? And then at death, guess what you meet? Darkness forever. What a horrible, horrible word that is. You know, I'm going to close. Let me just read something from Revelation, if you don't mind. Is that okay? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God. He'll be my son, my daughter. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. If you say you love your brother, but you hate, he says, God says, the truth is not in you, man. You're a liar. He says, all liars have their part in the lake of fire. What kind of word is that? Man, listen, I'm going to tell you, time is short. Amen. We were singing that song today. You know, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. Don't you want him to come? I want him to come right now. Listen, I mean, the older I get, the more my body betrays me. Okay? I'm ready. I just come and take me home right now. Can you imagine the reality of leaving here and seeing the true reality, the eternal life that we have forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Oh, if we're going to experience the Lord, we have to be obedient. Amen.
Pastor Bill's series, Real Life, continues on our next broadcast, and we trust you'll tune in once again. As always, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.